Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Today, we're taking a break from, I guess, all the difficult, complex political stuff we do, and we're talking about something near and dear to our heart, right, Mike?
Absolutely. We are talking about the fruit of the vine, actually, local fruit of the vine. We are taking a break from politics, which is not a bad idea at this time. It's such it's crazy out there, folks, as you well know. But so we do this every once in a while, not our first time, certainly. We take a break. We talk about local wine, local business on an occasion. And today it's the Verde Valley Wine Consortium. And I'm lots of, actually, there's going to be lots of organizations that are going to come in and out of this conversation this morning. We're going to have a nice little chat about local wine, winemakers, and wine stuff.
Because if you're a winemaker, you need some way to connect up with other winemakers and other businesses. And
well, I think especially here, this phrase is probably used 100 times a day. This isn't Napa Valley, and it's growing in that way. You know, I mean, it has. Maybe it was Napa Valley 50 years ago, I think those kinds of things, poor Paula just put down her head. She said, no, this is not the marketing direction I want to go, but we're going to talk about Verde Valley Wines Consortium. Speaking of which, we have Paula Tara Wosley right here. Say something so we know you're here.
Good morning.
That you didn't run out the door.
Yeah, here. She has red hair or purple hair.
She's hit this morning.
Spring hair.
What?
Spring hair.
Spring hair. I like that.
We have Tom Schumacher.
Good morning.
Tom has done so much in the Verde Valley, but his latest incarnation is here as an officer, as president of the Verde Valley Wine Consortium, and he's going to tell us all about that. Tom, let's go ahead and start with you this morning. Usually it's ladies first, but this is a Democratic show, so we do things out of the ordinary. Let's talk about the Verde Valley Wine Consortium, and of course, we're going to mention many times the event coming up right here in Sedona at the Yavapai College Center.
At Yavapai College this Saturday, the 28th.
Yep, here in Sedona
Center. It looks like an absolutely great festival, and we'll be talking about it in detail.
I want to put this at the top of the show too, because just as a way of outline here, the Yavapai College Wine Center, Southwest Wine Center. I was there the other day for the first time. I'm ashamed to admit, but I did finally make it and had a wonderful time.
If there's wine around, you always have a wonderful time.
Did you go to the tasting room?
I did. I did. Hung out with Phil and invited a couple of friends. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful setting and wonderful, wonderful wine. And there wasn't. A wine that I didn't, it was like usually you get the wine flight and there's something, okay, I like this better. I like them all. Everyone was great. So, and they don't make that many, if you're looking for but they were all just so good.
It was early days. When the grapes finish growing, they're ready to harvest, produce more. It takes a few years.
Yeah.
There'll be more.
I see. Yeah. Right. She's saying.
So Tom, let's talk to us about the Wine Consortium. I know that when you're trying to get, we're always supporting local businesses here on the Democratic Perspective, and we really want to encourage development, economic development of the Verde Valley, whether it's buy local first or whether it's you guys. Tell us why you have a Wine Consortium, what it means, and I guess you and Paula can talk then about the festival you have coming up.
Sure. Well, the Verde Valley Wine Consortium was actually started for that very reason, to support this burgeoning industry that's happening in the Verde Valley and throughout the state of winemaking. You mentioned already Napa Valley. And if people saw Napa Valley 30 years ago, they see some similarities in what's going on in Arizona right now with the wine industry.
That's cool.
Everything about it is new. Everything about it is happening. When someone mentions to me Napa Valley, I say, forget Napa Valley. Think about Arizona. Don't compare it to Napa Valley because it's going to be different. Everything about it is slightly different. The product is wine, but the terroir is Arizona.
Right.
And that's what makes us very unique. So the Wine Consortium was formed to support all the industry. We don't support any one winery or any one winemaker. It's a collaboration of people who are out there to make it happen and all the ancillary industries that are coming about because of it.
Well, that's true, too. A lot of feeder stuff out there, you know.
And one industry and one winery generates more wineries and more tasting rooms and more businesses of all different kinds. And what you're saying is, I think something Paula has talked to us about on other shows is that the soil and the climate and stuff is very different here than Napa Valley or Santa Barbara area, where I spent a lot of time.
Sure.
Which, when I was young, there was no wine there, no grapes at all. Now it's a major center. So how does this affect things? And there must be lots of microclimates all over the valley in Arizona.
Sure. Those are getting to what we call the AVAs. Those are different areas, different regions that grow particular types of grapes for wine. And we're looking into getting the Verde Valley as a particular AVA. That one's probably going to be what we call a high desert AVA. Mm-hmm. And there's no particular borders for that. It's just whatever the region is where those grapes can grow for that particular varietal, whatever that might be. Paul and I, way back years ago,
Tell us what AVA is.
AVA is the American Viticulture Association.
Viticultural Area. It's a designated area that has similar soils or elevations. It's been known for throughout history as a specific place.
Sure, like the Bordeaux region in France.
Exactly.
Rhone, my favorite.
Right now, if you want to put an AVA on your label, you could grow grapes here in the Verde Valley, it's going to say Yavapai County.
Okay.
So this is a way of designating a more specific area.
Right.
For us, it's mostly based on elevation, and it essentially would be an area that goes from Camp Verde to Sedona and Mingus to Rimrock, based on an elevation. So,
my 50 years in northern Arizona, I tell everybody, especially from back east, that elevation determines everything, you know, really, when it comes to the climate, especially. And a lot of people from sea level areas don't have, it's hard for them to grasp that concept. But one of the things that the college does, I know, we have this wonderful Southwest Wine Center at Yavapai College, I want to say unique, but certainly rare in the country, that Tom also was instrumental in, and at least it was under his watch it came into the college.
And Paula taught there.
I still teach there.
Oh, geez.
What do you teach?
I teach essentially everything that isn't winemaking, how to make wine and how to grow grapes. So I teach wines of the world, wines of the USA. So you're looking at all the regions, all the laws, the history, a lot of statistics, how to taste, how to store, how to serve.
How fun.
How to pair it with food. So if I don't teach you how to make it and I don't teach you how to grow it, but all the rest of the things that support those parts of the
certification. And that's where I was going with this. Like the college, we are going to separate as much as we can the winemaking part and the grape growing part. Mm-hmm. And all that's going to be kind of mixed up this morning. But we are certainly aware of, and the symposium, you know, deals with both of that now, actually. Mm-hmm. Where maybe in the early days, this is the fifth symposium, and I've been to a couple of them, and I always have a great time, but usually because I leave, you know, with many wine tastings in me, and get driven, of course.
So take 5 years. What's the theme this year? Why do you change the theme each year? What's the focus of the symposium? So this is not just wine tasting, folks. For $30, right, you get 8 wine tastings, you get a wine glass, you get the symposium, you get a free piece of delicious chocolate. All for $30. And so tell us a little bit about what the theme is this year and why you've moved it from the Verde Valley campus down in Clarkdale up to the Sedona campus of Yavapai College, right?
Right. Every year we try to have a theme that is the extension, if you would, of last year's.
And where we are this year as far as evolution in the industry.
I see.
In the
industry. Yeah, evolution. That's cool.
The very first symposium that we had it at Cliff Castle Casino. Just trying to get people up and interested in what we were doing. And the presenters, I was one of the presenters that was, how did you get this started?
There you go.
Where do we go from there?
Yeah.
And the big emphasis there was the economic impact on the Verde Valley, which is huge. From there, we moved it to the college to emphasize more the educational part of it. Yes, it's drinking wine, but as Paula just mentioned, she's one of the instructors in the course. I've taken several of her classes. You realize right away how much you don't know about wine. But at the same time, you realize the art and what you can learn about it and that there's more to it. I always would say people have to get over the chuckle part about you're going to drink wine.
Right,
and learn something about it. Learn what it is and how it is and where it goes. And that's, again, where the consortium comes in. So we moved it from the Verde campus for a little better exposure. We have a beautiful campus here in the, at the Sedona Center. We know there's going to be a lot of people in town for the weekend, for the holiday weekend for everybody. So we're inviting them all to come to our next symposium, and we have a excellent list of speakers, presenters who are going to do different things pretty much on the hour, so people can enjoy wine but then learn something about the industry as well.
So you have a talks on winery marketing, you know, how you market. You have vineyard discussion and demonstration. Are you going to demonstrate a vineyard or what?
Yeah, the theme this year is fruits of our labor. So we wanted to make it more of a festival type of environment also. So these are not classes or anything that you have to sign up for. It's very lax. You can come and listen to a winemaker or a marketer or somebody within the industry talk about what they've been doing and how they are starting to reap the fruits of their labor. While that's going on, the wine tasting will be going on the entire time. We've got local food trucks, local food vendors. We've got raffles. We can have some music. So it's all about creating an environment that is entertaining for everybody and educational for those that want that information. And we thought this year it would be much more impactful if a winery owner, winemaker, vineyard manager wants to tell his story to those other winery vineyard managers and the public at large that may be interested in knowing more about it. Yep. So it's a really great price this year. We want to see more people come this year. You know, this is important for us as a fundraiser. It's our big one of the year for the consortium.
Right.
And then we can do work on things like creating an AVA for the Verde Valley, which takes a couple of years. It takes money. It takes lawyers. It takes geological surveys. It takes all kinds of, you know, behind the scenes things that we do to support the industry. So that's what we're,
you know, and I, like I said, I've been for other consortiums, and one of the things I enjoy about them is the behind the scenes aspect of it. That it is winemakers, that you're there's all kinds of, I'm a big fan of local wine and have been from the beginning. So there's the, you know, there is Sam Pillsbury. There's the people from Javelina Leaf. There's the people from Tumbleweed. You know, they're all right there chatting about the trials and tribulations of winemaking. And at one time, one year I went, you did them in a panel. In other words, you kind of put them all in one panel. Now you've expanded it to the winemakers kind of, at least for this year, kind of, I want to say taking over, but certainly taking the presentation part of the symposium, which is kind of fun. And once again, if you enjoy, and Sedona does, by the way, in my experience, enjoy the behind the scenes feel.
And
then,
so you have
the symposium is that
someone from the Southwest Wine Center. You have a guy called the Wine Monk who writes for the Noise,
right? Right.
Yeah. And you have our old friend Sam Pillsbury, who makes very, very good wine and is
a big supporter of the show, by the way. We want to mention that.
Yes.
He's the comedy hour.
he is so much fun. And he's speaking at 4:00. I recommend Sam as well as all the other things to folks. He makes wonderful wine and he's a film director and has made the
Free Willy.
Yeah, Free Willy, what number?
Free Willy number
good,
72.
Good Free Willy.
There was only three of them, I think.
Oh, okay. Well,
but I don't tease him about number 72.
I don't know. But it looks like, so it's a really relaxed thing. I mean, you can go to discussions. You can go in and out of them. You can just taste the wine from the wineries. There'll be all the food trucks. It's $30 for all the wine tastings, a wine glass and everything else. It's Memorial Day weekend. Do you have a discount for veterans?
Yep, we have a discount for veterans, and students are $15. So with some kind of student ID, as long as you're 21. And if you're not going to be drinking and you just want to enjoy the conversation and spend time eating and eating chocolate, then it's free. You come on in and you just are going to be able to go do those things. It's the wine tasting bit is really where the money is going to be used because...
Yeah. Well, you have to.
Right. Yeah, we have to cover that for sure because we reimburse the wineries. The wineries are not doing it for free, clearly. And the symposium has always been fair in that we don't charge the wineries to come do the event. And then we pay them back for every sip of wine they pour out as far
so
as tasting.
So if we drink a bunch of wine, you guys are going to owe more money.
I do.
That's okay.
That's all right.
I mean, that's the idea of the whole event is to give exposure to these wineries.
How many Arizona wineries, do you have coming to the event? Do you know exactly?
To this one? We have 14.
14, wow.
Yeah, and they're all Verde Valley wineries. And
all of them.
They're all Verde Valley wineries. They are all, some of them have vineyards in southern Arizona. I mean, that goes without saying.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this is the Verde Valley Wine Consortium,
so our event is about, you know, giving people an idea of what's happening here in the Verde Valley specifically.
I think anyone who lives in the valley has seen the impact indirectly of the wine industry coming into the Verde Valley. You see the vineyards all the way from Camp Verde up into Jerome. And I think that people don't – what they don't know is just sort of is the details of how this impacts things. And I think this would be a great place to go and find out about it. And you can come in. The talks are on the hour, so you can go in and listen to a talk. If it interests you, you can go back and drink wine.
Sure.
It sounds really interesting. The ones I've been to, the wine's very good, the food's very good.
Yeah.
And this one is truly educational, which is, I guess, you guys' charter is to educate about
Absolutely.
Wine, right? Not just to drink.
It's one
like
of our
Mike
focuses
does.
For sure.
Well, our list of speakers here, I'm just kind of going briefly
give
through
us
the list
bit.
Here. Our first three speakers are, they're all from Chateau Tumbleweed, which is a winery that was basically, came forth in the Verde Valley. So here you have three of the principal people in that business giving you all the perspective of how they got it started. Chris, to start with, does all the marketing, all the wine labels. And if you see the labels, there's always a tumbleweed in it somehow.
Creative.
So how did that affect it? To the winemaker, Joe Bouchard, at 1 o'clock tells us how he's actually making the wine. And he has a long list of people he's worked for and the wines he's made. Jeff Hendricks is, their vineyard person. So you get the three different perspectives of one winery. What it made it happen? How does it work? And this is local. This is all happening here, from these folks. And of course, they'll have a booth there. You can taste their wine. And one thing we haven't mentioned yet that, the consortium does every year with these is we have a booth. We call it the People's Choice Award.
Ah.
So anyone who attends can come up and vote for their favorite red wine and white wine. And it's a coveted award in the Verde Valley.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it is. Because some of us who have been on, you know, we've seen the wine tasting rooms grow. You know, I used to talk about Old Town Cottonwood, break people's hearts for 30 years because they would come, they would fall in love with the place, and then there wasn't any business, there wasn't any there. It was just an old part of town. Not so anymore. You know, five tasting rooms, it is as happening as any place I've ever been. I mean, you know, I haven't been that many places, but Yonge Street in Toronto, Larimer Street, and I have been drunk in all those places, ladies and gentlemen. I had a great time there this weekend, and we'll leave that alone. And certainly wine was a part of that, but the whole idea is that when you live here and you become you get to know the businesses as businesses. I'm a consumer, so I go into Pillsbury Wine, but sure enough, I see people I know behind the counter and the Sam's there, then it's Party Time USA. and then at the same time, like I said, you know, the people behind the scenes. So it's become total immersion. It's like, I don't know, studying a foreign language in Mexico. You know, we're totally immersed in wine stuff. So that places like Chateau Tumbleweed that have just. I spent a pleasant afternoon out there unexpectedly, not so long ago.
So this is the 5th annual Verde Valley Wine Consortium, the fruits of our labor. So basically the wine industry is developing here, right? It's
That's
beginning to mature a bit.
Right.
From being a fairly rough and tumble and dig holes in the ground business to something beyond that.
Well, you can correct me if I say something wrong here, but you got the Southwest Wine Center. You got that thing going on out of the college. You got Michael Pierce. You got Nikki Bagley. You got these instructors out there. You got Paula Wosley, but you got these people doing both experimenting with wine stuff, you know, trying different things, looking at soil, at climate, and having a academic atmosphere, for want of a better term, which the wine industry is dependent on as much as any other industry
ever
was.
It's scientific. There's a big scientific part of the wine industry. It's not just planting things. It's understanding
exactly.
The soil and the climate and the pattern of the weather. And that all affects the wine. I mean, the composition of the soil. I mean, obviously, if you drink wines from all over the world, one thing that's going on is the different varieties of grapes that are either entirely or make up part of it. But another thing is sort of where it's grown and what the environment is like, what the soil is like. And it can vary a lot, right?
Early on, Paul and I got a call from a person from San Jose State. Who was
Fresno State?
Fresno State.
Dr. Wample?
Yeah. Dr. Wample, who ran the viticulture and enology program there. We got him here and got him to the Verde campus and said, this is what we envision doing. This is going on 8 years ago now.
I expect to see a guy in a top hat look like Gene Wilder, but maybe not. Oh, but go ahead.
And the first thing he said was he looked and I actually – this impressed me about the gentleman. He picked up a piece of the soil and put it in his mouth. And I thought, well, we did tastings way too long that day, I guess.
So
he said, is this typical of the soil? And I said, yes, it is. And he goes, is it all this rocky? And I went, well, yes. And he goes, that's good. And I said, well, yeah, we got lots of rocks.
We got rocks. The rocks are good.
That influences the taste of the wine.
Dr. Robert Wample, he was definitely instrumental in letting us know that our crazy vision at that time was something that could come to fruition.
And now
it has. I mean, we're seeing responses from international places. We just had an amazing article this last week, just came out in Sunset Magazine, and about the Verde Valley, you know, and talking about Chateau Tumbleweed. And it's really, really starting to become known outside of Arizona. And, you know, we aren't growing in leaps and bounds. We're growing at a rate that is consistent with what we can do in this area.
That's great.
Because it's not like you can grow grapes everywhere. We're surrounded by Forest Service. We're places we can't grow. I mean, it's good we have rocks, that's for sure. But, you know, sometimes it's not right. And it takes a lot of money to bring this investment in. And we're finally starting to get on speed with the Arizona legislation is starting to be a little more forgiving and allowing so that we can grow as an industry. And we really were locked down until 2006. So the growth we've seen between 2006, we had 12 wineries, and in 10 years for the state, we had 12 wineries. Now we're up over 100. And it is growing in a way that makes sense. People are starting to bring money in, starting to bring talent in, and having a college, you know, involved. If you're going to have a real wine region, you really need to have that support so that you have a place, a repository to put all the information that all these people are doing. So when somebody new comes in, they can go check it out and say, well, what about this grape or what about this location? Somebody needs to be collecting all that data and having it there for future people coming into the area. Mm-hmm. and a place to be able to train people so that the industry is self-perpetuating. And that's really important. I mean, you could come to the Southwest Wine Center, and we will teach you how to grow grapes. And you could take that knowledge, you know, anywhere.
Well, that's it.
Anywhere.
About my enjoyable time there with Phil, the manager, there were the students were coming and going, you know, and with questions and with information. And Michael Pierce was coming and going, you know, with questions and instructions. And so there was this whole air of winery and just an information, you know, going on. And certainly, every time I put a glass to my lips, it's, like the first time, I have that much enjoyment of the fruit of the grape and the fruits of their labor.
I'd like to ask, I guess it's a too broad question, but how would you folks characterize the wine of the Verde Valley compared to the wines of other places, California,
New York, broad. Whatever? Arizona definitely has its own flavor profile. There's no question about it because you take everything the environment has to offer. You know, we tend to have wines that are potentially higher in acid, and that's due to the winemaking. People they immediately assume because Arizona's hot that you're going to have wines that are like overly ripe or super extracted because, you know, we've got the sun and it's just going to make those grapes just create so much sugar and you're going to have this really high alcohol fruit bombs. But we're finding out that we have more elegant structure and we have interesting flavor profiles. It's going to be different because of the fact we have heat. You have to watch the way plants are trellised so that you don't burn the skins of the fruit. These are the things that people are learning as we go along. To give a specific style, I mean, if you were going to say anything, what comes to mind is, you know, a baked desert herbs. I mean, there's different things for sure that you can pinpoint in specific wines, but overall, you know, it has a lot to do with where the grapes are grown and who's making the wine. To give it one grape varietal that we're doing great in, we're still experimenting. We're still in the early times, but we are finding out that places do better geologically. Like Page Springs has a very similar rocky situation that you might be seeing in some places like the Rhone Valley. So they do really well with Rhone style varietals. You're seeing Italian varietals up in Jerome. You're seeing Bordeaux varietals down south. So you're starting to see beginnings of what people are growing and how it works. But to be able to say, how do we compare? We compare. I mean, we're definitely more in an old world flavor profile, I think. If you want to compare us to anybody, forget California, Oregon, and Washington, and talk to me about Sicily and France and Spain. You know, we don't have, if you think about California, Oregon, Washington, you see those places, they have large bodies of water, big ones, oceans close by. Same thing with certain places in Italy. We don't have oceans. We have elevation. So it's going to be a different type of flavor profile.
Because oceans bring a moderation
correct.
Of temperature thing. And
exactly.
That's why it's probably much easier to grow grapes there than here or not.
It can be. Absolutely. But what grapes like to struggle, they like to be hot in the afternoon, get really hot, and they like to drop down. That up and down, hot, cold, is what creates interesting grapes. That's the easiest way to put it. And you're going to get that with either a large body of water, be it a lake or a huge river or an ocean
with
moderating.
The Mediterranean Ocean, yeah.
Right.
I'm talking about Sicily.
Right. There's a lot of water there.
Yeah.
It's an island.
I've heard that.
But it's also hot. It's really hot.
It's
so
hot.
It's actually similar to here, but we have elevation.
It
does the same thing.
They serve prickly pears with every meal.
That's it.
Sort of exaggerating, but sort of not.
If you're here in the summer, you know, you live here, you're going to wake up and it's going to be 60 degrees.
Yeah.
And then, like this morning, easily.
Yeah.
And then it's going to pop up to well over 100.
Right.
That shift of temperature is what the grapes appreciate. They like it. And then we're also, you know, dry as far as climate goes. So we don't have issues that have to do with like the Midwest or places in New York where you have a lot of wetness.
Right.
Humidity causes mold, yeah. Different types of things. And you also don't have the extremely cold winters, which we can do really well with, you know, Bordeaux varietals, French varietals here because, yeah, it gets cold. And there can be winter kill depending on where you plant. But for the most part, you know, our biggest issues are monsoonal activity. Mm. mm-hmm. right? And when, late spring frosts.
Right.
Those are really it. So when you know that those are the issues and those are the things you have to kind of plan ahead for, and you do that, you can create amazing environments for growing grapes that can make really good wine. And if you got the talent, you got the wine.
I think every time we talk to you folks, we get more and more information. And I think that's a brilliant summing up of the situation. I mean, when I asked you the question, I thought I want to put them on the spot on this because this is, this is a really complicated thing. Like, how are your grapes, your wines different from other places? And I think that it's getting clearer, isn't it, what's going to be distinctive about Verde Valley and Arizona wines?
Grapes grow great, and what specific ones are really more driven by the market and what people want to drink.
That's right.
Seriously, I mean, we do really well with Malvasia Bianca, and that's turning into a great varietal we're seeing grown north and south, and people are appreciating it as something a little different in a white wine. And they like it when they taste it. It's aromatic. It's fun to drink. And the winemakers enjoy making wine with it. So when it comes to what are we going to grow, I mean, you know, people want to drink Pinot Noir, but that's probably not a grape varietal that's going to grow great here. But with that being said,
that's Michael, because of that movie.
Michael Pierce is doing Pinot Noir. I tasted one of his Pinots last weekend at another festival. It was delicious. But when consumers go, when they think Pinot Noir, they're not going to jump to Arizona. They're going to go, no way.
Yeah.
They won't even consider
it.
Right. So you really have to think about what people are going to purchase, you know, the standards. They're going to do Cabernet. Maybe they'll do Merlot still. Merlot is still very popular. Chardonnay.
And it's very drinkable. I've gone back to Merlot.
You can make what you want to make for your own tastes, and you can also make what you know is going to sell to keep your business going.
I mentioned the movie Sideways, where the guy praises Pinot Noir and damns Merlot.
Yeah.
I'm sure he dented the Merlot market.
No.
Not at all.
No,
okay,
he just
great.
Managed to increase the price of Pinot Noir. Merlot is still very popular.
One of the things I want to mention.
He was increasing the price of what grows in the Santa Barbara area.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
At the Sonoma Wine Festival last year, meaning I was part of the Red Rock Theaters group, that did this little wine presentation where Kate Hawks, the director out there of the Performing Arts Center, did took a whole bunch of wonderful wine quotes and she put them all together, and they were put them in the mouths of some local actors, and we had an awfully good time doing the show. That may have more with the bottle that was being passed backstage, but we won't even talk about that. We will talk about that the wine in its fifth year of the symposium, but the wine industry has grown up. We have our favorite wine tasting centers. I want Tom. I'm looking across the room. I see Tom has a list of the wine tasting people. Yeah, because we all have been to some. I've been to them all, of course. But others have favorites. Read the list. Who's going to be at read the list that's going to be at the symposium this year on May 28th.
I hear some of them are looking for you before unpaid bills.
Nobody runs me a tab, baby.
So that's this Saturday, by the way, from 10 in the morning to 6 in the evening, and we're going to feature 14 wineries, and in alphabetic order here.
Oh, there you go. No favorites.
Alcantara is going to be there. Arizona Stronghold, Burning Tree Cellars, Caduceus Cellars, Chateau Tumbleweed, we talked about them. DA Ranch will be there. 48 Wine Works, Javelina Leap, Pillsbury Wine Company. I've got to throw this in here about Pillsbury. Sam's, one of his wines recently won a double gold at the San Francisco judging.
Chronicle, yeah.
That has a submission of over 5,000 wines, and for somebody to win a gold is a big deal. A double gold, gotta compliment Sam there. Seculum Cellars is going to be there. The Southwest Wine Center. These are the student-made wines. They will be there.
No, I haven't tasted them, so that would be interesting.
Great wines. Page Springs Cellars, Prescott Winery, and then also Winery 101. Winery 101 is one of the newer tasting rooms down in Old Town Cottonwood.
Yes.
Why don't you give us the exact information again, just the fifth annual Verde Valley
Wine
Consortium. It's May 28th, Saturday, this next Saturday. It's from 11 to 6 p.m. It features talks and discussions as well as wine tasting. And free artisan chocolates, would you call these? I mean, Paula showed me a picture of these chocolates before the show, and I don't think that we can describe them on the air, but they look like gems or jewels or something.
Exactly. We have had, this will be our third or fourth year with Jason Wasser from Jacques Lital Confectioners, which is a small operation out of Phoenix, and he is, excuse me, an Army reservist who, in his spare time, when he's not in the military, is making the most incredible gourmet chocolates. And he and I have put together a kind of a presentation, good guy, bad guy. You know, I come at it from saying, you know, wine doesn't always go with chocolate unless you understand it. You do the right chocolate with the right wine. So Jason goes through a talk about where chocolate comes from, the history of chocolate, and how it's interestingly similar when you talk about it as it is comparing it to wine. And then I come in and we start showing you, we start off by saying, okay, well, here's a Hershey's chocolate with a fruity red wine. What do you think of that one? And people go, ew, ew, but they all think it's going to taste good in the beginning.
That's right.
And we go through the evolution of getting in a higher, more quality chocolate, you know, with darker cacao levels. And then I start bringing in darker and darker wines. By the end of the time, the people have tasted four different chocolates, and he always makes one incredible truffle. Like last year, he did a strawberry with balsamic truffle with caramel and sea salt, and I paired a wine with it, and it went perfect. And that's for anybody who takes that specific class. We're putting Jason and I, we're doing it twice, 1:30 and 3:30. On top of it this year, he's made 500 chocolates that he's going to let just the general people taste. You know, and his chocolates are not inexpensive. They're beautiful, let me tell you that off the bat. It's going to cost you $20 for, like, they're $3 a piece. So for him to come in and offer 500 chocolates. So that's one of the classes that it's a discussion. Don't call it a class because you're not going to have to do it. There's no tests. You just get to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
And Jason will have chocolates there available to sell. You may have met him. I bring him also to the Sedona Wine Fest. So he's been around. He comes to the Pecan Wine Festival. We have a relationship that when you start to realize that people want chocolate with wine, well, we're going to support that, but we're also going to show you how to do it well so that you get the best experience.
Well, how fun. That's a fun party.
It is. It's a fun. And the other food vendors that are going to be there this weekend on Saturday are Culinary Creations by Beth, Up the Creek Bistro and Wine Bar, Good Times Rolling Kitchen and Catering, Eureka Old Fashioned Soda, that's one not to be missed, Wingfield's Bread Company, another one. She makes the most incredible donuts. And Chef Wayne's Creations, and he does gourmet hot dogs. So in every year, he has created a special hot dog. You know, like he made a kraut last year, and he made it using rosé. And he put the sauerkraut that he'd made with rosé wine on the hot dog with blue cheese.
I think wasn't he at Pecan Wine Festival?
He was at the Pecan Festival. Yeah. He's been there before. I mean, for $6, you can get this guy's hot dog.
Yeah.
And a beverage and chips, and you're done. It's beautiful. So we hope everybody comes out and enjoys it. Ticket information for tickets, to purchase tickets, go to our website, which is verdevalleywine.org, and there's a push a button, go right to the ticket site. There's a student price, $15, general admission is $30, and we hope to see some of our vets there.
And there's a Facebook page. There's a link.
Yeah, everything's linked. Everything's linked. There's commercials on the TV that are linked. You'll see more than you need to see, why you need to come and enjoy it. This festival this year, we're hoping to see a lot of people, a lot of locals come out and support us so we can continue to support the industry.
Right. It's and I can tell from the past, I've always had a great time at the Verde Valley Wine Consortium Festival. It's more festival. It's gone through, like we said, an evolution. Wine festival and symposium, we're calling it this year. So
It is a festival. It is a lot of fun.
Well, it always was for me, but now it's going to be for everybody
else. We'll be back to talking politics.
Oh, God, yes.
We'll discuss the Arizona legislature.
We have dark money.
Today we're talking about
wine. Today we're talking about dark wine.
And Paula, I guess, you know, you've talked about it before on the show, but explain what happened in 2006, how law change, wasn't it? Was that when the law changed and that allowed wineries
to sell?
Well,
that was the first round of law changing. We're about to go through our third. So prior to 2006.
So law can stifle an industry.
Stifle, absolutely.
For no particular reason, right?
Right, or, and then there's reasons, and you know, you guys all live here.
Reasons
so
are political, which
okay,
right.
So let's be political. What happened?
Well, Arizona had a history of being like prohibition for us. We started 6 years before the rest of the country. We had a complete prohibition, meaning it was illegal. There was no church wine. There was no wine for communion. You didn't have medical use wine. There was no personal use wine. There were six states in the country that went that route. We were one of them. So you didn't get to have any wine. And then, so we had an additional 6 years. The rest of the country had 13 years of prohibition. We had 19 years. So that put a dent in the beginning. And then you had our laws that were very, suppressive of anybody in the adult beverage industry for a long, long time. Here, case in point, in Arizona, it was illegal on the books until 1984 to serve wine at communion. So you had some arcane laws that were there, and we also have a very healthy three-tier system here in Arizona with a lot of big distributors that have and continue to have, but it's lessening, a grip on the ability to sell the wine or the beverages here, that have lobbyists that incur a lot of money to the legislature to keep that industry down. So until 2006, if you had a winery and you wanted to sell your wine, you had to go to the winery. I would have to go as a consumer to that winery to get the wine. 2006, things opened up where wineries were now able to go directly to somebody who had a liquor license, like I could go to my favorite restaurant and sell my wine to the restaurant. That started it, and that certain caps of production were raised, and you had other laws that were starting to be looked at. And over the course of the last decade, other things have happened. We've had the Arizona Wine Growers Association, the Bernalillo Wine Consortium, and local wineries really get together with lobbyists and lawyers and try to expand things like creating proprietary licensing, where you could have a winery have more than one winery at a specific location. These are things that are normal to most wine industries around the country. Arizona has needed a lot of, well, let me explain why we've been doing this in California since Prohibition ended. So those are the things that.
So give us the information again on the symposium this Saturday, May 28th, at the Yavapai College here in Sedona. And you can buy tickets at the door.
Yes, you can buy tickets at the door as well as online.
And give us the online address again.
www.verdevalleywine.org.
And the program is from 11 to 6 p.m.?
11 to 6. But the doors will open at 10. We'll have a little bit of coffee and, you know, getting things going there. But we'll be there. We encourage people, if they want to get a little coffee donut in the action before they start tasting, wine tasting. And we'll start at 11, and so will the speakers, and it'll go all the way until the wine tasting will end at 5. We'll have the, you know, raffles and the announcement of the People's Choice competition between then, and then we have everybody out the door by 6.
Lots of wine stuff all the time in Old Town Cottonwood and around Sedona. We talked about Sam Pillsbury is going to be there, and he certainly isn't the first guy to make a transition from the movie business to the wine business. But he has done it so incredibly successfully. As a supporter of the show, we want to mention Sam Pillsbury, but we also want to mention Democrats of the Red Rocks, who just opened an office at 2855 West State Route 89A, right here in Sedona.
And served some good wines at
and,
the opening.
I didn't
well,
know
being
that.
Democrats, what do you expect?
Right. So but, Democrats of Red Rocks support the show. They did just open an office. You can stop by and learn all kinds of things about candidates. Democrat perspective is on, and we're going to have lots of candidates from here and on until the end of the election season.
In the meantime, go and enjoy the wine tasting. Learn a little bit about the industry this Saturday, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
And those wines are also available for purchase at this
good
event.
Yes. So if you need a case of Viognier, come and get it.
That's right.
Well, I've done that. I buy the bottle right there.
Sure. It's important. Yeah. Support local.
So we just
support
want to say
local. Support local industry. Support the Verde Valley. All this stuff connects together, right, Mike?
That's it. All we're going to do is say the names of the wines that are fun to say, like Viognier and Pinot Noir. And we're going to have a show with just wines that are fun to talk about.
We're just going to have wine names.
Just wine names.
From all over the world.
How many different ways can you say Pinot Noir?
Like Georgian wines when I worked at them. Well, they believe that their wines are the best in the world, if you ask Georgian. I'm talking about old
the state of Georgia?
Yeah. No, okay. No.
Oh.
All right, folks. Mike's VVID.
Yes, okay. Please, this podcast and all our podcasts are on VVID.org. Go to VVID.org and listen to our show.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.